Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I think you are seeing this probably in the afternoon in for Fosden. That science is recorded. You can see whatever you want. Thank you very much for joining us today in this online conference that we used to be all together in Brussels. We are going to miss the waffles a lot. I will probably cook us some of them for later. My talk today, I would like to talk about open source program offices. I don't know if you have heard about this concept, but I would like also to talk about other topics. I'm gonna minimize myself in the video, so you don't need to see me that big anymore. So I would like to focus on at least four key topics. We, the people that we do develop, maintain, contribute to open source at some point. I will talk of course about organizations, open source ecosystems. I think it's a concept I would like to highlight during this talk. Also about open source program offices, the important role and to help sustainability. One of the key points here about this how to help on sustainability is the way of the maintainer. So let's start. The motivation for this talk started like I think it was a couple of months ago. I was preparing a talk for Open Core Summit, and I was analyzing. I work in Viterja. We provide analytics about open source development and how companies develop software in general. But I was analyzing the commercial open source software company index. I don't know you know about this, but basically like the 45, 50 software companies that develop software, and they sell it or provide it as a service. And these are the companies that have like $100 million revenue per year, at least. So that's big amount of money. So that's significant amount of money. That means that you can do money doing open source software development and even providing service on top of that. So those companies are around in total like 70,000 employees, and the numbers from this index is about they are generating a revenue around $80 billion per year in revenue. So that's in total for these 45, 50 companies. That's huge, I would say. But okay, going to what were the people that are maintaining this code? How much active they are? What's the level of dependency these companies has on the maintainers? It was interesting to check, okay, these are the top 50, and you can compare that there is like a people that is doing a lot of identities or identities, I would say, that are doing all this amazing work on top of everything, that are mostly bots. Actually, they are bots, but there is one human there, and you see the amount of work this person has done is above any average of the rest of the project. So compare it to around again 50 companies, and these are people that are getting more than 100 and even more millions of dollars in revenue. So they are depending on probably the work of this person that I would say don't bother him on Thursday. I know he's him because I know him also, who is the company and they're working on. But it's not the matter of the conference. For me, it was the key point. Oh, open source is depending that much in, and this company is depending that much in the work of a person that. Okay, companies, software development at the end of the day is about people, and that's very important. And actually, if we look at how software is developed in general, we have development activities, right? Like writing code. We have also deployment. Like, okay, we have more nowadays automatic ways to deploy things, but at the end of the day, you have some people involved there also, and maintenance, like people checking issues, solving issues, reporting, patch sets, all this stuff also done by people. But also, in all these steps, you need some kind of collaboration in one sense or the other. Of course, in open source, it's one of the key points for developing open source at all. So again, people, from my point of view, and I think also Toby said this last year also in the community there from here, is said that people are the limited resources in software development ecosystem, not only in open source, but in software development ecosystems in general. So we, if we are managers in a company, or we as community members, or we as companies that are willing to keep developing software, we should be aware of the people we are involved with or we are working with. So coming to this idea of ecosystem, when I was thinking about, okay, what's an organization open source ecosystem? If I need to look at organizations open source software ecosystem, it's not just the software they develop. And actually, I've seen at least three kinds of layers of how companies or how this ecosystem could be defined. First of all these projects that the organization is consuming, there is a bunch of projects, and I would say that nowadays, I don't know any single company that doesn't consume or use or whatever at some level have implications of using open source at some point to build their own stack, to check what's going on there. I don't know. They are consuming open source even because they are actually some developers could be using any packages out there, but they are also buying other companies support for using open source. So it's not only a matter of I'm taking and not giving back. I'm also paying for it at some point. But in addition to this, there are also companies that are releasing their own open source projects because they want to attract talent, because they want to drive awareness about the things they are doing, they want to improve their technological stuff, many, many reasons. And you can ask many companies what are the benefits of releasing open source and contributing to open source, because the last level of the ecosystem are all these companies or all these projects that the company contributes to, though. Basically all the projects that you're participating as a company because you want to drive them, you want to, I don't know, to force them to work in a certain way, because you want to retain talent of your company. There are have been said that by allowing people to contribute to open source, the people in your organization is more willing to keep working in your organization. So you know how important it is to retain talent nowadays. But also to increase the company tech footprint into open source ecosystem, or even to be seen as a good open source citizen. So all these projects are your open source ecosystem. And you could say that, okay, that's a bunch of projects, and how complexity this ecosystem could become. This is a very rough analysis we did about the Mozilla. I think it's already written, and you can see it online, the Mozilla and the Rebel Alliance. And this is only the open source project Mozilla organization release. And what you're seeing there is all these big projects like Firefox. You see a lot of stars just close into them. Actually, those stars are people. And depending on the color, you are seeing how active they are in the project. So they are the core contributors, the people that are doing 80% of the contributions, or just regular contributors doing 15% of the contributions, or even the casual contributors doing 5% of the contributions. And I think that the most challenging thing that you should be aware of is that there are a lot of people that are not just working on a single project, but they are working on several, and even they are moving from one project to another. So again, your ecosystem start to be seen as more complex, because all these relationships matter, because probably you can decide, okay, this project is not relevant for me anymore, so I'm going to stop any contributions to them or any support to this project. And actually the people there could be involved in other projects, and they could think, okay, if the company is not supporting this project, I'm not going to be interested on keep working on this. Or even could key company that has been working in very important projects in the company has started contributing to other projects. And you as a company should be aware of why these key people for me is contributing to this other technology. Perhaps because this is something that could be interesting for us. So at some point we should be taking care of that also. And last but not least, when we are talking about consumer releasing and contributing to open source software, okay, that could be very funny. But if you're doing that without any care, it can be very risky. It's like, as I say in the picture, like just jumping in the air and let's go for the fun thing. But if you're not taking the good measures or means with you, probably you could be facing risky things. And I'm going to talk about just three specific topics that I think are very important. The first thing is about legal. Of course, if you're not aware about licensing, IP things, or stuff like that, probably you could be facing some important problems. I'm not going to talk here about also security that could be somehow related with this legal compliance about it. I'm using projects that are secure or mature enough. On similar level are things related with people management. Like, okay, if I would like to keep my people engaged with the projects, engaged with the company, probably allowing them to contribute to open source has been said that is good, but also to attract talent is good to have open source projects. I need to identify all these people. And again, this put into the all this management thing about, okay, we need a people management thing also involved in this open source relationship with my open source ecosystem. And last but not least, that usually this is the first thing that people think about when they are talking about open source, is they are talking about engineering, about developing things, about contributing and improving the technological stuff. And of course, that's one of the key points. But I have led that to the end because for me, all these three layers are very important. And you need to manage from the legal point of view your relationship with your ecosystem, from the people point of view your relationship with your open source ecosystem, and from the engineering point of view your relationship with this ecosystem. And you can imagine these are very three different skills and very different mindsets that you need to put all together to make this. So how we can make that? And this is where open source program office or open source program office, programs office, or whatever you wanted to call them, I usually call them OSPO, has become an important role in several organizations. And if you know, I will recommend you to read them, the Todo Group guides, you can read there like, open source program office is a central open source, it's just a designated place where open source is supported, nurtured, shared, explained, and grown inside that company. In other words, from my point of view, in my humble opinion, I think OSPO can play an important role to ensure ecosystem sustainability, because actually you at some level, because you're consuming, because you're contributing, as I said before, legal, people, and engineering point of view, you are depending on that ecosystem, and having some kind of office or set of people in the company that is ensuring that everything is aligned with the ecosystem you are surrounded by, I think is where you both, you and your ecosystem, or your ecosystem and you, all the environment is secure and growth in a very natural way. So the first thing for me is key from the OSPO point of view. You need to understand your open source software ecosystem first. You need to know which projects I'm contributing to. I've been talking with companies that they don't even aware of. I don't know where my people are contributing to. I don't know even how many open source projects or how many open source is being used in my company. Probably because it's not key. Probably some of you might be just thinking about, okay, you're a software company. You should be aware of that. But nowadays, companies, I would say, all companies, and I'm not talking about 2020 and all this digital transformation hype, but all the companies are becoming software companies at some point. So if they are a software company, for sure they are using open source somewhere. And of course, if that's not their main business, like developing software, some people might not be aware in the company that how important open source is for them. So they don't even know how much open source they are using, and they're not even aware of all the risk of using open source without care, right? Of course, you need to understand who are the key contributors, who are the key maintainers of these projects, who I need to talk with if there is an issue, if I need to hire someone, or if I need to identify the talent inside my company that is contributing to this project. It means I need to understand all of these things. And it's been said that without data, you are just a person with an opinion. And we have been seeing all this big data thing for a long time about marketing, sales, and all this stuff. Why not analyzing also open source? And, you know, this is what Viterja does, and there are more and more people nowadays doing it. And you have a bunch of open source and free software tools to use. I will just mention a few of them. The Software 360, mainly developed by Siemens and a bunch of European companies that is now part of the Eclipse Foundation set of projects. It used to be OpenHub. You called that years ago Olo, that you can check projects activity. Now you have also Coldon.io that we presented here in Brussels 1 year ago. That is a SaaS tool that you can go there and analyze open source projects quite easily. You have Grimoire Lab, that also is one of the projects that Viterja has been participating in, and is also now in the Chaos community. That community, Chaos, you know, stands from community health analytics for open source software. So you have there also definitions of metrics to define the health of an open source project, but also open source tools to measure that health. So basically you have already a bunch of tools to deal with all of these things. Another way that you might think, okay, now I know how my ecosystem looks like, and there are a bunch of projects I'm depending on. So basically one of the first things that people think about, okay, let's fund or sponsor these projects to ensure that they have some kind of financial sustainability. And that's good. That's a good idea. I recommend you to check out the options that are out there for doing that. But I would like to highlight, please be aware of tip jars, because tip jars don't create a sustainable way of living for maintainers, for contributors. If you are doing that, imagine that usually you have another salary income somewhere. So a tip jar is nice, but think about other ways to support this. And there are other ways. One that I would like to comment today or to highlight is this idea of the promote the way of the maintainer. I know I am a Mandalorian fan, so I usually use this as this is the way. Most of the people in your company start like active users. Like why not starting as an active user, not just users, just using the software? No, if you find an issue, you find something that you don't understand, feel free to go to the forums, to the GitHub issue tracking system or whatever issue system they are using, like GitHub, GitLab, Jira, whatever, for this project, and ask questions. Make yourself, okay, I'm here, I am using this, I don't know how it works, I have these issues, or I found this interesting. Start by asking. Because once you get comfortable with the product and you start doing this path, probably there are people even in your organization that is able to contribute back, like contributors, becoming a contributor, like, okay, I am able also to solve some issues that I've seen in this forum. By going there, probably you realize, oh, I know also how to solve this. Probably I don't know all the answers. But if you already know any answer, please provide that. Reply to questions. Even if you have some kind of technical knowledge, you can even send patch checks to try to fix some of those issues or try to improve the project somehow. Of course, that needs some code review, and probably some people will discuss you should be doing this in another way. You need to test things, and you will learn to resolve this process. And if you continue this process, and probably it's not all the people in your company are going to do all this path, but you can achieve the point of, okay, you can become a maintainer because you are able to review and accept patches, and the community also will recognize you as one of these people and your organization, one of these organizations involved in this. Like, we can even code in the main branch, like, okay, I'm just driving the project as I would like, and even participate in the roadmap governance. And I think that's the whole path that also helps to the sustainability of the projects, because it's not a matter of just keep the maintainers like they are. I keep also renewing the maintainers, or even to have new blood in the maintainer people, right? But one of the points, and also related with this idea of sponsoring projects, one of the things I've seen a lot is this idea, oh, I can do this thing. I can take the project and I can customize by myself. I don't need anyone help because I am a big corporation and like the empire, I can do this by myself. Okay, feel free to tell what's going on in your ecosystem, because there might be companies and individuals providing consulting, customizations, and even support services on those projects. And hiring these bounty hunters, I would say that's an option. And it's a very nice option because there are already people thinking, okay, what could be my business model for living, or how I can do a living on this software development? And basically, by tip jars, I'm not going to be make a living of this, but if people are hiring me for specific things, or like I said, consulting and customizations, this is a way to live. And that's what that was it, everything from my side. I'm more than welcome to your questions. So please let me know if you have any question, and I will respond that. Thank you.